Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news, recorded on Wednesday the 26th of April. I'm Beth.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Louise.
And your sound engineers this week are Martin and Helen. And this week we welcome the following new members, Mr. Thomas Bruin and Ruth and George Wade. We hope you will enjoy receiving your discs. Next, we would like to say a big thank you to Mrs. Joan Simmons, who has kindly sent us a donation last week towards the funding of our Talking News and magazine. So once again, thank you for your donations, which really count towards the running of the Talking newspaper and magazine. And now Margaret will start us off with the news.
A man killed his colleague with a single punch in a Black Country town centre following a row over football, a court heard. Dean Hartley is accused of unleashing a vicious uppercut on Carl Swift, who was hit with such force he was knocked unconscious before hitting his head on the ground. Hartley then lied to the police, claiming he found the victim in a heap on the floor and that he must have fallen over, a judge was told. The pair were among a group of six work colleagues who had been drinking at a Wetherspoons pub in Hales Owen on September the 8th last year. Wolverhampton Crown Court heard how Hartley and Mr. Swift had been arguing in the pub about football, almost coming to blows. Hartley later told the police he had been irritated by Mr. Swift, aged 33. The group, which had travelled down to the Black Country from Yorkshire for work, was thrown out of the William Shenstone's pub on the Queensway after Hartley's uncle struck Mr. Swift with the back of his hand, said Mr. Philip Bradley, prosecuting. Mr. Swift had left on his own after a few minutes earlier and began making his way back to the travel lodge where they were all staying, when the rest of the group, headed by Hartley, caught up with him on New Road, Mr. Bradley said. He told the court, in an unprovoked attack, he punched Carl Swift with so much force as to break his jaw. The punch took Mr. Swift to the floor, where he struck his head against the pavement and fractured his skull. Mr. Swift died in hospital 2 days later. The group told paramedics they had found Mr. Swift lying on the pavement, and Hartley kept up the story during his initial police interviews, the court heard. But when experts found Mr. Swift, who lived in Rotherham, had suffered a broken jaw, Hartley admitted he had thrown a punch, but claimed he did it in self-defence. Mr. Bradley said the defendant's belated claim of self-defence is untruthful. The prosecution's case is that far from acting in self-defence, he unlawfully assaulted Mr. Swift and in doing so caused his death. Hartley, aged 30, of Burnaby Crescent, Sheffield, denies manslaughter. The trial continues.
It has already been named as the fifth worst city in the world, and its people as the most miserable. But now Wolverhampton has been ranked fifth out of the 13 most unhappy places to live in the country. The latest findings were made as part of a study by the Office of National Statistics, ONS, which found that the city's high level of unemployment was a main factor in the rating. But some of the city's leading figures today jumped to its defence, saying they would not wish to live anywhere else. Former Mayor and Labour councillor Milkinder Jaspel, who represents Heath Town Wards, said, "I always question the criteria of these things. Just because people are unemployed doesn't necessarily mean they're unhappy. It doesn't surprise me at all, as over the last few years we keep hearing about these studies." Wolverhampton-born radio presenter Dickie Dodd said, "I think it's absolute rubbish. We've had all this come through before. These people that come out with these findings don't know anything about the city, let alone live here. The unhappiest place to live, according to the list, is Corby in Northamptonshire. The ONS asked people to rate on a scale of 1 to 10 how satisfied they were with their lives, to what extent they feel the things they do are worthwhile, how happy they felt yesterday, and how anxious they felt yesterday. According to the report, Wolverhampton has an issue with unemployment, with Employment overall is not especially great in Wolverhampton, with only 63% of people employed. The overall employment rate for the UK is near 75%.
Three men and a woman have been given jail terms totalling more than 22 years after they held a man prisoner and subjected him to an 11-hour torture ordeal, as they believed he had raided a Stourbridge boxing club. A fourth man, who then callously dumped the semi-conscious, battered and bruised victim in a country lane near Old Halesonians Rugby Football Club, has also been put behind bars for 3 years. The 25-year-old victim was stripped, slapped, punched, stamped on and threatened with a samurai sword before being repeatedly dunked headfirst into a tank of water while he was tied to a chair. The man clearly thought he was going to die, said Judge Amjad Nawaz, who told the defendants they had taken the law into their own hands, having convinced themselves he had broken into the Black Country boxing gym. He said that they had carried out a persistent, sustained and deliberate attack on their helpless victim, who had been lured to the boxing club in Lye. The victim was found walking barefooted and dressed in a pink onesie by a concerned passerby in Wattle Grove, and she quickly alerted police. But the incident was something that would stick in her mind for some time, said the judge. The victim was rushed to hospital, but had been badly affected by the repeated beating that left him with a continual pain in his face and now looking constantly over his shoulder in fear of being set upon again. After the brutal hostage incident, Wolverhampton Crown Court was told the man and his family had been made the target of a hate campaign and were now looking to move out of the Stourbridge area. The judge told the defendants, "You took the law into your own hands, no doubt fuelled by alcohol, and once it started, there was no stopping." Before the court were 29-year-old Ricky Green, of no fixed address, Asa Cartwright, aged 30, of Norfolk Road, Woolaston, his 23-year-old sister Charlotte Cartwright, of Ashton Park Drive in Brierley Hill, Ashley Round, aged 25, of Wino Lane, Woolascote, and 26-year-old Jack Skeldon of Holy Cross Lane, Belbroughton. Green, the two Cartwrights and Skeldon all pleaded not guilty to a charge of false imprisonment and two charges of assault causing actual bodily harm, while Round denied kidnapping, having dumped the man in the country lane. But all five defendants were convicted by the jury at the end of their trial. Asa Cartwright, Skeldon and Green, who admitted a further charge of affray, were all jailed for 6 years. Charlotte Cartwright, a former soldier, who unlike the other defendants was of previous good character, was sent to prison for 4.5 years. Round was jailed for 3 years by the judge, who told the defendants, "You were all in this together."
The future of three Black Country Burger King restaurants is in doubt, after the companies running them went into administration. Millcliffe Limited and CPL Foods run 36 franchise Burger King stores across the country, including the outlets at the Wolfram Centre, Wolverhampton, Queen Square Shopping Centre, West Bromwich and a drive-through at Port West Retail Park, Waterfront West, Brierley Hill. The two companies' restaurants employ 1,000 people in a total at 58 sites and also include an El Taco Loco, Rooster's Chicken and Real Cafe at Queen Square and Rooster's and El Taco at the Wolfram Centre. The companies called in administrators from Alex Partners who said they had experienced cash flow pressure, primarily due to delays in developing and opening new stores linked to their growth strategy. Nick Cropper, Ryan Grant and Catherine Williamson from the business advisory firm were appointed joint administrators over Millcliffe and CPL Foods on April the 7th. The administrators said that all the restaurants will continue to trade while they explore all options for the sale of all parts of the business. They will also work closely with the franchisor, Burger King Europe, in the hope of finding suitable interested parties to take on the sites. Mr. Cropper said, "Our priority now is to work closely with the business and determine the optimum routes forward for the companies as we continue to serve our valued guests throughout the UK. We are confident that the companies are an attractive proposition for a range of potential buyers, and as such, we expect and welcome some contact from interested third parties." The Burger King in West Bromwich, which was opened by CPL Foods, is in the 150-seat food court that only opened up for business in the shopping centre last October. The court created 35 new jobs. The Wolfram food court was opened by CPL in April last year on a 15-year lease from London and Cambridge Properties. The 36 Burger King restaurants also include ones in Castle Street, Shrewsbury, Kingfisher Shopping Centre, Redditch and the Grace Church Centre, Sutton Coldfield.
Prime Minister Theresa May has been out pounding the streets and rallying the troops in Dudley as the general election campaign got underway in earnest. Seeking a strong mandate for Brexit negotiations, the PM made her first visit of the campaign at a stop-off in the Leave heartland in the Black Country. After knocking on doors in Sedgley with Councillor Les Jones, who is hoping to represent Dudley North in the forthcoming parliamentary election, Mrs May gave a rousing speech to Conservative Party members and journalists at Netherton Conservative Club. She told the packed room, "Every vote will be a vote for a strong and stable leadership to take this country through Brexit and beyond. It is only the Conservatives who can provide that strong and stable government. The Black Country is a very important battleground for the election. Every vote that's cast here is going to be important for the future of our country." Councillor Les Jones was chuffed to have Prime Ministerial support on his door, knocking endeavours as he awaits official confirmation of his candidacy for Dudley North, and he said, "I think she realises how important the West Midlands is going to be in this campaign." Likewise, West Midlands Mayor hopeful Andy Street, Conservative, said it had been brilliant to have the PM with him on the doorstep, just 11 days away from the mayor election on May the 4th. Mike Wood, who is also hoping to be re-selected to stand in Dudley South, was also delighted to have the PM in his constituency, and he said he believed it would be an easy choice for voters choosing between Theresa May and Labour's Jeremy Corbyn at the general election on June the 8th. Starbridge MP Margot James said the Prime Minister's decision to make the Black Country the location for her first campaign rally of the election shows Dudley, the Black Country and the West Midlands really matter to her. The Prime Minister's visit follows swiftly after Labour Party leader Tom Watson stopped off in Dudley to help launch Ian Austin's election campaign. Mr Austin has pledged to make education one of his top priorities, and he is urging people in Dudley North to not just consider national issues, but vote for the best person on the ballot who can represent the area.
Scouts in Stourbridge have reported the highest number of adult volunteers on record in its latest annual membership figures. The area now has 198 volunteers, more than at any point in its history. But despite such high numbers of volunteers, the waiting list for young people who want to join the Scouts in the area has skyrocketed by 33%. Scouting continues to grow, and there are now 653 young people involved in scouting in Stourbridge. And including adult volunteers, total membership today is up by 13% at 851. Mark Bache, lead volunteer for the Black Country, said, "Our adult volunteers today seek much more flexible volunteering arrangements than in the past, so that they can fit it around their busy lives. Many adults who are signing up with the Scouts have a limited amount of time to donate to us, and so we need more volunteers as a whole in order to accommodate the continued demand for scouting among young people." The Cub Scouts, 8 to 10-year-olds, is the most popular Stourbridge Scouting section, with 219 members, 15 young people joining in the last 12 months. Chief Scout Bear Grylls said, Our challenge is to keep recruiting even more adults, as we've got 51,000 young people across the country wanting to join and benefit from what Scouting offers. Volunteering changes us all for the better. To volunteer with the Scouting in Stourbridge, visit www.scouts.org.uk/join.
Key stops in the Midland Metro line will be shut for 6 months while maintenance work is carried out, adding further delays to journeys. Roadworks classified as high disruption by the City Council are already taking place in 9 areas across Wolverhampton, and now tram users will be forced to use a replacement bus service. The move will see the Metro line operating between Wolverhampton and Birmingham along the Bilston Road closed from Wolverhampton St George's in the city centre to Priestfield, 1.5 miles away, from mid-June. Priestfield's tram stop and the park and ride will remain open for travellers heading towards Birmingham. Midland Metro buses confirmed, however, the stop will be closed for people travelling to Wolverhampton. St George's and the Royal, which is shut between the city centre and Priestfield, will be completely shut. The track will be replaced and the road resurfaced, and it is anticipated that the tram line will be reopened for passengers by Christmas. A replacement bus service will operate from the already congested city centre, while tickets will also be accepted on National Express, West Midlands buses, for the duration of the work. Malcolm Gwinnett, UKIP councillor for Springvale, branded the work a farce, saying, "We are going to see more and more vehicles already going into an already slow-moving city centre, which in some parts is a nightmare. There's not enough thought into these plans. The consultation meetings are a farce." The work is being described as essential track maintenance by Midland Metro bosses. Phil Hewitt, Metro Programming Director for Transport for West Midlands, said, "Undertaking these works is vital to ensure the continued success of the Midland Metro network, which will be complemented by a number of other extensions across the region, ultimately making travelling by public transport significantly easier in years to come."
Alarming new figures reveal more people than ever are risking their lives on the rail network while trespassing on the tracks in the West Midlands. The data from Network Rail and British Transport Police, which looks at trends over the last 5 years, shows trespass incidents are at an all-time high in the region, while nationally, one person trespasses and dies with death every hour. Last year alone, there were around 598 incidents where people risked their lives on the rail network in the West Midlands, a slight rise of 2% compared to last year. Research also shows young people are more likely to take a risk on the tracks, with seasonal peaks in incidents coinciding with the spring and summer school holidays. Nick Jordan, Network Rail Community Safety Manager, said, "Every April, we see a huge rise in the number of people taking a risk on the rail network, and it's worrying that these numbers seem to be going up. The dangers may not always be obvious, but the electricity on the railway is always on, and trains can travel up to 125 miles per hour. So even if they see you, they can't stop in time. As the railway gets busier and we electrify more lines to improve services, we must work harder to keep young people safe by making them aware of the dangers. In 2016, 58 children were caught trespassing by police in the region, with boys aged 14 to 16 being stopped the most." Inspector Dave Rams from BTP in the West Midlands said, "We believe the number of children we encounter trespassing every year is sadly just the tip of the iceberg. Every single day we are called to the tracks because the train driver has had to sound their horn or apply their emergency brake in a desperate bid to avoid ewes on the line, who then run off, seemingly unaware of the danger they have put themselves in."
A baby was taken to hospital after a car mounted a kerb and hit two women with a pushchair. The 18-month-old baby was thrown from the pushchair, which was left trapped under the car on Ashenhurst Road in Dudley. The Peugeot left the road, hitting two women who were walking on the pavement. The child suffered minor facial injuries and was taken to hospital along with a 24-year-old woman who suffered bruising to her head and was given pain relief. Another woman who was on the pavement and the driver of the car were not thought to be hurt. West Midlands Ambulance Service spokesman Murray McGregor said, "We had a call saying a car went onto the pavement and collided with two adult females and a pushchair. The pushchair rolled over and its wheel was trapped under the car. The baby has minor injuries to its face and the woman pushing the pushchair was taken to hospital and the child went with her." West Midlands Police said the driver of the Peugeot spoke to officers at the scene but was not arrested.
A pensioner who was targeted by distraction thieves has found his treasured wedding album, which he feared was stolen in the raid. Colin Bennett, aged 81, was left heartbroken after bogus water board officials ransacked his home last week, stealing cash and sentimental items. However, since a police appeal, a thorough search of the property has unearthed the missing wedding album in a disused wardrobe. Items of jewellery belonging to the former RAF man, Mr. Bennett's wife, were snatched from a shelf at his home in Streatley, where they were displayed along with the album. Around 11 a.m, a man knocked at Mr. Bennett's home and said he had been sent by the water board to carry out checks. The pensioner allowed him inside, and the suspect conducted inspections in his kitchen for around 15 minutes. However, Mr. Bennett did not realise a second person must have sneaked into the property to raid the upstairs bedrooms. However, the callous thieves appear to have had second thoughts about stealing the photos and stuffed the album into a disused upstairs wardrobe before making off. Mr. Bennett described the culprits as the scum of the earth. His wife Irene passed away in June last year, aged 85. He said, "It's not 12 months since I lost my wife. I'm not holding up too well at the moment. I am usually sharp with these things. If people come to the door saying they're from a company, I say, 'OK, I'll ring them up now.' But on Wednesday, I just went blank. I have sat there since and shed a few tears. I look at photos of my wife now and I say, 'I have let you down, love.'" Anyone with information about the suspects or the location of the stolen jewellery has been asked to contact DC Ed Morgan at eddie.morgan@westmidlandspnnppolice.uk. The crime reference is 20BE/752020N/17.
A man has told a jury of the moment a shotgun was fired at him as he was targeted in a drive-by shooting in the Black Country. Sufian Khan was sat in the passenger seat of a Peugeot 107 when a car pulled up alongside and shots were fired from the back seat, a court was told. Khan had been branded a snitch for reporting a robbery and had been stabbed less than a month before the late night shooting in Smethwick, a judge was told. Terrell Harris, aged 18, is accused of both attacks on Khan. Giving evidence at Wolverhampton Crown Court, the victim described seeing the rear window come down, followed by two shots, which smashed the window of the Peugeot he was sat in. Khan told how his friend pulled up in Green Street, having just returned from a shop to get cigarettes on August the 14th last year, when he noticed a silver Volkswagen Golf parked farther up the road. He told the court, "The silver Golf was coming up High Street with no lights on. It was coming up really slowly and on the wrong side of the road. That's what made me a bit wary. The silver Golf parked right next to me. The back window came down and two shots came straight through our car." Both Khan and his friend avoided serious injury as glass rained down on them and the Golf sped away from the scene. Khan said the driver of the Golf had a black scarf covering his face, but claimed he saw Harris fire the shotgun. Harris, of Abbeyfield Road, Erdington, Birmingham, and Bennett, of Laurel Drive, Smethwick, pleaded not guilty to wounding with intent. Harris also denies attempted murder and possession of a firearm with intent to endanger life. The trial continues.
More than 150 council workers in the West Midlands were paid salaries of more than £100,000 in 2015-16, new figures have revealed. Data released by the Taxpayers Alliance reveals Wolverhampton, Sandwell, Staffordshire and Birmingham councils all had more than 10 top brass on that figure. The top earner in the region was named in the report as Sharon Lee, the former strategic director of Place in Birmingham, who received £414,100 in 2015-16. A total of 158 workers were on more than £100,000 in the year, including 14 staff in Wolverhampton and Sandwell, 13 in Staffordshire and 23 in Birmingham. The scale of the salaries has been labelled absolutely astonishing and insane by West Midlands MEP Bill Etheridge. Among the top earners in the region are Wolverhampton Council's Managing Director Keith Ireland, who took home £170,100 in the financial year, and Dudley Council Chief Executive Sarah Norman pocketed £184,000. Wolverhampton Council has recently announced the departure of Strategic Director for People, Linda Sanders, who the report highlights as earning £237,962 in the 2015-16 period. Mr. Etheridge slammed the scale of these salaries. He said, "These figures are absolutely astonishing. I think it goes to show that when we are constantly being told there's no money for services, everything has to be cut back, but we're all in it together. That's clearly a lie. It's no wonder taxpayers get angry. This needs to be stamped out."
A heartbroken family have paid tribute to a popular DJ who died suddenly, aged 31. Adam Toombs, also known as DJ Toombs, was found dead in bed by his girlfriend, Kim Parton, at his home in Starbridge. The drum and bass DJ and promoter was a familiar face in venues across the area, regularly holding sold-out shows. Mr. Toombs, who found his passion as a DJ at the age of 15, would promote High Voltage, a drum and bass night at venues including the former Picture House on Hagley Road, Moochers on New Street and Fitness Factory on Bradley Road. His father, David Toombs, told of his devastation as he leaves behind his 12-year-old sister, Rebecca, and his 35-year-old brother, Glenn. His mother, Christine Goodall, aged 55, said her son will be sorely missed. She added, "We're slowly having to come to terms with what has happened. We're heartbroken and numb. He was too young to die, and we haven't stopped crying. He had a very good sense of humour, very dry and witty. He had a heart of gold, and he'd do anything for anyone, and he was loved by lots of people." Mrs. Goodall said he died in his sleep and had no underlying health conditions, which the family were aware of. Mr. Toombs worked as a mechanic at Castle Road Motors with his grandfather, mother and brother, Glenn, at the family-run business.
And with that final news item from Margaret, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Beth.
Bye-bye from Margaret.
And goodbye from Louise.